Such great fellowship here in the church. We are excited that you have come this morning and that we can worship the Lord together. It is always a wonderful thing to see our children growing up hearing the Word of God and knowing that downstairs they are not just playing with toys, they are being taught simple but truthful foundational Bible lessons that will bless them the rest of their lives. We know what it means to grow up and have God's Word as our foundation. Last Saturday, July 31st, there was a great event that took place here at Kentwood Christian Church over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It was a leadership conference of the Grand Rapids Nepali Church and the Spokane Nepali Church, and they celebrated that Saturday, the 31st, of merging together and renaming the churches the Glorious Church. And that is a wonderful thing. I want to introduce to you first Pastor Dawa. So I'd love Pastor Dawa to come up here on stage with me. Come on up. I'm going to make you stand in front of everybody, okay? But this is Pastor Dawa from Spokane, Washington, and about 30 individuals from Spokane moved here to join with Pastor G.S., and they are co-pastoring the Glorious Church. And it is a wonderful church full of wonderful, God-fearing people, and we get to be a part of their church, and they get to be a part of ours. And really, it's a beautiful picture of the church being neither male nor female, neither slave nor free, neither Jew nor Gentile, but one body in Christ with one Lord and one foundation, and we serve together. Amen. Pastor G.S. planned to be here this morning, but he is not able to be here, so he asked Elder Karka to step in for him. So, Brother Karka, come on up. I want you to stand here so I can say a few words about you, and then we'll have a prayer and we'll get right into our lesson. If you're with the Glorious Church this morning, would you please stand up so we can acknowledge you as well? Welcome to Grand Rapids, Michigan. We welcome you. We're excited for you. This is Elder Karka, and one of the most godly men I know, and a humble man, and a great elder in the Glorious Church. And so, brothers, we love you. We're excited for all that God's going to do. And may God bless you all as you carry out the good news to whoever in your community, our community, will listen. God bless. Would you like to say anything?
I'd just like to say thank you for welcoming us. I would just like to say thank you for welcoming us, and thank you for being part of our family. So together we can do something for the kingdom of God.
Amen. So,
thank you.
God bless. You want to say something? Would you like to say something?
धन्यवाद हजुरहरूसँग म इङ्ग्लिस जान्दिनँ मेरा दावा पास्टर बाबुले हजुरहरूलाई बुझाइदिनुहुन्छ आजका दिन हाम्रो परमेश्वरलाई धन्यवाद दिँदै हजुरहरूसँगको एउटा मेरो नयाँ मण्डली परिवारलाई तपाईँहरूको माझमा उपस्थिति भएर तपाईँहरूको माझसँग उपस्थिति भएर हामी सेवा गर्न पाउँदा एकदमै धन्यवादी मेरो नयाँ परिवार अनि म पनि भएको छु अनि एकदमै आशिषित भएको छु थ्याङ्क यू
He said, thank you, and we are really glad to come as one together this morning and worship God. So, and thank you for welcoming us here. So, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. September 19th, the dedication of the chapel, where we will again come together as congregations and ask God's blessing on everything that takes place in that chapel in the years ahead. This morning, we begin a new four-part sermon series titled Amazed. And I selected this word amazed specifically because of its Greek meaning, which I'll talk about a little later in the sermon. But as I was reflecting on what will I preach after the series Draw the Line, I felt like the Lord led me to the idea of talking about His Word in the sense that sometimes, oftentimes, we become so accustomed to it, so familiar with it, that we seem to lose the sense of awe and wonder and astonishment and conviction that His Word brings to the heart that is sensitive to the words of God. There's a lot of things that are overused. There are a lot of things in our life that we become so familiar with, both in our Bibles and in the world. Do you know what the most overused expression in the world is, according to Google? I'm from the government and I'm here to help. No, that's not it. That's not it. That'd have been a good one. But the most overused expression is, I'm giving it 110%. And not only is that mathematically impossible to do, it is overused in the sense that it is a statement that we make that tries to share with someone, a group of people, that we're working as hard as we can. And we know that sometimes that's just not true, if most of the time. It becomes worn out. It becomes so overused that it loses the power in which the statement is meant to have. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, I'm going to ask in my small group about a verse in the Bible and see how they responded to it. And that verse that is probably the most familiar, at least, in the United States of America, if not the world, is John 3:16. Right? John 3:16. Let's say it together in the NIV version. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We see it on sports players. We see it behind dugouts. We see it behind batter boxes. We see it all over. We wear that. We reveal that. It is definitely a familiar passage of Scripture to the world and hopefully to the church. But whenever I ask the question of my small group, how does that verse hit you? Their response was typical. Well, it seems to be overused. But they all agreed likewise that there is really no way that verse could be overused. And what we settled on was, is sometimes we are so accustomed to hearing a familiar word from the Lord that we just gloss over it. We hear it, we think we know it, but because it's so familiar, we just gloss over it. And I think we would all admit that we're guilty of that, right? Sometimes, you know, you'll hear a famous Old Testament verse quoted from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all of your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Right? We hear it, but we know it. But we just sort of gloss over it. We don't really think about it, break it down, understand it, and find ourselves truly astonished by what God is telling us in those scriptures at times. And so what I want to do over the next 4 weeks or through August is to look at some of the familiar texts, some that we might say we know, some that we might think are overused, but really renew our hearts and our minds to love those fundamental truths, those basic truths. We sit here and we watch Laura say a few words to the children about the wise and foolish man. And we think, well, I remember that in VBS, or I know that teaching. And yet the impact that that teaching has on our hearts isn't often what it should be. And if it's not, what do? We seek God. And we ask Him to help us to slow down and to be touched by every word that comes from the breath of God. Because all of Scripture is breathed of God and comes out of God, and therefore God's people cherish God's Word. They meditate on it. They love it. They lie down in it. It is their life. They make room for it in their hearts. And they never, ever allow themselves to become hardened or calloused to it, because it's the words of God. So in our story of the wise man and the foolish man, let us not think that we've just got it. Let us see the beauty of Jesus' teaching. But I think it's important for us to understand that this text in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24 and going through verse 29, is early in Jesus' ministry. It comes in what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is teaching primarily, if not exclusively, to the Jewish people. And against this background is there has been 400 years since the end of the prophet Malachi that God has been silent. There has been no word from God. The people of God, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, have gone through the daily duties of doing hopefully their best to honor God. But 400 years, God has been silent until Matthew opens up at the annunciation of the coming of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of sending the Savior of the world. And at the age of 30, Jesus comes onto the scene and begins teaching. And he begins these beautiful, basic, foundational lessons to the lives of people. And one of those lessons is the lesson of a wise and a foolish builder. You see, it's not until Jesus reaches the age of 33 and he goes to Jerusalem, and while being ordained by God to die on the cross, shed his blood for the sin of the world, does the covenant, the new covenant of grace, kick in to its fullness. Jesus came bringing grace and truth. Moses brought the law, but at the death of Jesus Christ, when he said, "It's finished," then the season of grace, that door was opened for all to come to. And in this story, the wise and foolish builder, Jesus simply says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." This is easy to understand, but sometimes it's very hard to live. Jesus, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world, after 400 years of silence from God, speaks this beautiful message to the people of Israel. And for you and I as Gentiles, by saying, everyone who hears the words of Christ, the words of God, and puts them into practice, embraces them, and lives these words out, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, this beautiful illustration that Laura gave to the children, we know how true that is. You build anything on sand and it's going to collapse if you have enough water and enough wind. But if you build it on a good foundation, on a rock, it can withstand anything for the most part. Rains may come and our houses may be flooded and the basements may be filled with water at times, but it still stands because the foundation is strong. The simple, beautiful, spiritual principle that was for the Jew and is also for the Gentile and God's church is this: Jesus Christ has the words of life. And to build your life on his word is the greatest thing you can ever do. Nothing can replace you embracing God's word through his Son, Jesus Christ, a word that is truth and a word that is grace and a word that reminds us of things to come. You will never, ever be disappointed. Thank God for that simple, beautiful, spiritual principle. But then we see this part of the story. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. The idea here is a beautiful picture of, listen, in this life, even though you stand on Jesus Christ, on him as the rock and foundation of your life, storms are coming. You will go through storms of trouble and difficulty. There are some that preach when you are in harmony with God's will and God's word, that God protects you and keeps you from going through any difficult time. That is untrue. That is unbiblical. The truth is, when you encounter those difficult times, those difficult decisions, those difficult medical diagnoses, whatever they may be, with your standing on Christ, God will bring you through it, not keep you from experiencing the worst that this world has to offer. That's a promise. No matter what trouble comes in the believer's life, the one who loves God, puts his word into practice, and looks to him and trusts him with their life, whether they get sick and go through a terrible illness, or they lose someone they desperately love and miss in this life, whether they lose a home or a business, no matter what difficulty, have an unruly child, just goes on and on and on. If you're standing on the rock, you will survive those terrible storms. And I know that there are so many in here that are standing on the one and true foundation, and you've experienced those kinds of hard difficulties in your life that many of us have not gone through yet, and you're still standing. You're still standing. You're not standing in your own strength. You're not standing in your own ability. You are standing because of, and only because of, Almighty, gracious, loving Father in heaven has given you some place to stand, and that is upon Jesus Christ, his Son. For there is no other foundation. And you know, yet some of the nicest people find themselves coming to a place in life where they encounter these difficulties and they fall apart. And you wonder, how does that happen? How does one not hear the words of the Lord and stay with them? You see, salvation is given to us through faith in the grace of God. Amen? Sanctification. Sanctification is the part that the Lord has given us to do in our lives. He gives us the rock to stand on. But we got to stay on the rock. We got to hold fast to the rock. We've got to cling to the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. There's the contrast. The rain came down, the same rain, the same storm. The streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, verse 27 says, with a great crash. Now, this great crash refers to this life. Whenever you don't have that relationship that is rock solid in the Lord, things are going to happen to you, and you're going to find yourself on the floor. But the second meaning, and equally important, most scholars would say, is a reference to the coming judgment. That there is coming a day, and it is judgment day, where everyone will stand before the Lord God Almighty and give an account of themselves. Those who stood on the rock will continue to stand firm. And yet those who built their life on the sand will face eternal judgment, and there will be a mighty crash as it all comes to an end. Jesus is not trying to scare the Jewish people that are sitting along the hillside by the Sea of Galilee as he teaches this lesson. But his words are truth, and he comes from the Father, and he speaks for the Father, and he is letting people know that there is a coming judgment, and we can be prepared if we will hear his words and live them out in our lives. Some people think because they enter a building that is called a church building, that, well, if they do that, they're building on the rock and their soul is secure. But this isn't about entering a building and sitting in a chair and listening to someone talk, is it? It is about entering a place where someone is sharing God's word, and that word, by the Holy Spirit, pricks and convicts one's heart to embrace it and live it out in their lives. How do you know that you're standing on the solid rock? One way is God's word. It's important to you. Another way is you are obeying it and you're living it out in your life. You just don't hear those words and say, well, I know what they mean. I'm familiar with them, and let them go right over your head and you continue on. In John 14, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says, I'm getting ready to leave and go away. And they are shook up. Where are you going? You're going to leave us? Jesus says, don't worry about it. You know the way to where I'm going. Remember that? And what does Philip and Thomas say? We don't know the way to where you're going. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that is the rock solid foundation we stand on. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings. This word amazed is throughout the Gospels. And in some Bible translations, it is translated astonished. Or astonishment. But the best translation probably is amazed. Now, I am sure that as we work through this basic story that most of us know, you probably weren't thinking in your heart, man, I'm astonished by that story. Maybe you were. I'm amazed that Jesus said that. We might say, well, this is the first time they're hearing it. That's why they were amazed. Maybe so. But just like John 3:16 that we've heard again and again and again, should it ever become lukewarm to us in our hearts? No. So it's the way that we come at Scripture and the way that we approach Scripture and love for God and what He is trying to share with us. And if you study a text and look deeply into it, you always find a meaning that you missed. A nugget of truth that blesses your life. The people who heard Jesus say this teaching were amazed. They were astonished. Do you know what the Greek word for amazed is? It is equivalent to the saying, I was hit with a ton of bricks. It is to strike or to strike out. A word is spoken and it just hits you like a ton of bricks. I'll be the first to admit I'm guilty of looking at the scriptures, thinking that I know that one and so familiar with this one, that there's nothing else for me in it. I'm on the meat, not the milk anymore. But then when I see a text that says, here's a group of people that cared enough about what Jesus was doing and the way that he was doing it, that they gathered on a hillside to sit there and listen to him. And then God lets us know that in relationship not only to the Sermon of the Mount, but this particular lesson, they were amazed. It hit them like a ton of bricks. Does God's word have that effect in your life anymore? Have you walked too long with the Lord that his word has lost its power, its impact, its striking ability in your life? Well, if it has, I think we need to go to the Father in prayer and listen to what David said in our scripture reading in Psalm 119. And we need to meditate once again on God's word. We need to love his law. We need to love his precept. We need to love his teachings. We need to love the parables. We need to love it all. And we need to slow down and we need to seek God before we go to the text. And we say to ourselves, God, what is it you want me to see? Maybe today there's an unbeliever here that says, I've been building on the sand. Or there's a believer here that says, I've been standing on the rock, but I have allowed myself to drift away and to focus more on the things of this world than on the one thing of God, his unique Son, Jesus Christ. And may we all make a deep commitment to love his word, to strive to be amazed by it, because Jesus Christ spoke like no other. In fact, that's why verse 29 says, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. These religious people in their day teaching wisdom that was passed down to them through the generations. Some of it, I'm sure, was good. Some of it was of God, but it was their teaching that they were sharing and the wisdom that had been passed down. When Jesus comes into the world, it's not something that he is borrowing from anybody else. It is coming from him and his Father. Jesus said this in John, I say nothing unless the Father tells me to speak it. And that's why he spoke with authority. And that's why he was amazed. The power is in the Word. It's not in the preacher. It's not in the teacher. The power is in the Word of God being conveyed, being proclaimed as God's Word. And that's why Jesus or any other person that speaks in his name has anything to say whatsoever. Wherever you find yourself today, wise or foolish, building on the rock or building on the sand, wherever you find yourself, I pray that today's message, God's teaching, will strike your heart and you will be amazed and you will seek Him out and set Him apart and begin to call on His name in greater ways than you've ever called on Him, to live your life for Him, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise His name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship our God.
Let's sing. Amen?
Amen. Let's praise him like we really mean it, okay? There we go. Starting next week, Sunday, August 15th, we are revitalizing our prayer.
To recognize that we can't do this on our own strength, because we'll fall into temptation every time. Help us daily to rely on your Holy Spirit, for in him lies the victory. Help us to remember how much our disobedience hurts you, and to want to please you more than to please ourselves. May we stand firm in your promises, and may we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Higher, so let your name be.
Jesus. Church, I pray that you would continue to lift high the name of Jesus in your life, knowing that his power is above all else.